Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 28. And the flute is calling you to the podcast once again. I've been practicing my flute this week a bit. I don't consider it practicing. I'm just playing around with it because I'm not really practicing songs. I'm just making stuff up, using it as a meditative tool, creative outlet. Why am I speaking like that? But I've been playing these different things, and when I went to, play, my theme song before I recorded, I just kind of wanted to just kind of remember how to do it, because it's pretty simple. And, I had to think about it, because I've been playing a little more complicated stuff. I'm trying to impress you. I think I choked a little bit on that one. I'm going to keep playing my flute, and as time goes on, I'll play more intricate things. But that was just a little taste, a little insight into my fluting, my flouting. I was talking to a lady the other day, and she said, "Why do they call it the flautist and not flutist?" And I said, "I don't knowist or nowist. Why do I know knowist, not nowist?" Oh, gosh. Anyway, it is a beautiful, 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 sunny, gorgeous day here in Los Angeles. Gosh, if it wasn't for the overabundance of cars and people, this would actually be paradise. But we have way too many people here, way too many cars. But for the most part, it's okay. Just as long as you don't get into... as long as you don't have to drive anywhere. Again with the. We have the new managers have officially taken over. First, there was the announcement put out by the owners of the building where they trumpet the arrival of the new managers, and they wish Gus, the former on-site manager who is rarely on-site, they wish him well. And we all wish him well. Gus is a nice guy. I like Gus. I don't think the job was for him. I don't think he really... I think he was kind of led astray about what he needed to do, and it would be like giving me the job in a way, because I would not be the, to me it'd be like, all right, if you just want me to collect the rent and hold it for you, fine, but I don't want to do anything else. And Gus did some things, but he didn't do much, especially when it came to cleaning. However, these new managers, Aaron and Janet, Day two, okay? Already, first of all, they already have one of the four apartments that are empty. One of them is already rented, okay? They did that. Yesterday they showed, I think, they had four people come and check out apartments. That's number one. Number two, they are cleaning the place. They are cleaning up a storm. They've been working for hours. I have not seen this kind of cleaning here. I mean, except since... I mean, Harry, who was the manager prior to Gus, was amazing when it came to cleaning, but he was only one guy, and he kept the laundry clean, and, he did certain things. But these people, they came in this morning, and they actually washed my hair. No, I'm just kidding. They're going upstairs, and they're cleaning the stairs. They clean the barbecue, the outside of the barbecue. They're washing everything, and just like, Their whole thing is they're going to do it maybe once a month and keep it up. And I am so impressed with these people. They just moved next door to me. They're really nice people. Janet is, she does have that accent, which I wasn't going to... She's the one that asked me if I was going to make fun of it. And I did, I think it was last week, I kind of made jokes about her accent. But it just seems too easy. I don't really, but it is kind of hard to understand her. I mean, she said something else to me. And now I'm thinking she's saying things on purpose with her thick accent, so I don't know what the heck she's saying. I'm trying to remember what she said. Last week was the yim. This week was something else. I don't remember. But it was a very thick... She has a very thick accent from South America. But I got to tell you, I'm impressed with her. I'm impressed with her husband, Aaron. And I don't know if it's because they're both vegetarians. I don't know if that's because they're vegetarians and they have a higher consciousness than the rest of us, meat-eating carnivores. But, man, they're scrubbing this place down. People who normally, you know, who look for just any... I defy anybody to fault these people. I'm telling you. And Aaron said to me, he said he was going to do something, like fix something on the barbecue. I said, well, I think they're going to replace it. You might want to wait. He goes, that's the problem. There's too much waiting around here. This is the second day. He goes, I'm just going to do things. I'm going to fix things, and I'm going to hand in a receipt. And that's how I'm going to roll. That's how I'm going to roll as a manager. And I go, God bless you, man. God friggin' bless you. It's just amazing. You know, it's kind of like the feeling that it must have been like here in this country after World War II, after there had been the Great Depression, you know, and then the war, and then there was the prosperity of the 50s and the 60s. That's what it's kind of like. It's kind of like that now, that feeling. It's like there's a new prosperity here in the building. It's almost like you're going to start hearing Johnny Mathis singing, chances are... I will wear a city green, the moment that your lips touch mine. I haven't done. I've messed around with the Johnny Mathis impression when I was a kid, and have rarely done it, as you probably can tell. But I just thought it was appropriate right now during this this portion of the podcast. And so they took over June 1st. And the other night I came home, it was May 31st, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I ran into Gus, the former on-site manager, who was rarely on site, but he was still officially a manager, and we talked in the parking lot, and he told me that, you know, at midnight, the baton would be passed, although I don't know if Aaron and Janet knew. I think they just kind of figured the baton was passed when they woke up, but whatever, and... But I felt like I was at the end of a movement, at the end of a regime. I saw a regime fall, and a new one rise. It was as if Gus was Hitler. No, that's not right. He's not Hitler. That's not nice. Gus he's a nice guy. I'm trying to make another World War II reference, and it's just not working out. That's what happens in the business of being funny. You know, I know that really wasn't funny, because as soon as I said it, my instinct said, not funny. Okay. So that's that. So I'm really, really grateful. Really glad to have these people here. And they're already doing an amazing job. So, okay. Enough gushing about these people. I got an email this week on my Yahoo account from, some company say, hey, become a success coach. And I was thinking... Did they just send it out to anybody? I mean, it's just like, it was kind of in my spam. You know, just spamming people. Yeah, become, that's like a new, that's an option for somebody to, as a way to make a living, you know. I mean, wouldn't you have to be, I would think you'd have to be a success, to be a success coach. I mean, it's sort of like, I guess the model that Tony Robbins came out with back in, whenever, the 90s. And now you see all these life coaches and I don't get it. It kind of reminds me of like when I was about 17, 18 years old, I was taking an acting class in New York City. And, and I thought the acting teacher, you know, that when you're that age and, you got an adult, this guy was like probably in his 40s. So he's an older guy. And, you know, he spoke with authority. He knew about acting, I trusted that. Completely confused the heck out of me. I didn't know what the heck he was talking about half the time. But he made his living as a waiter. So it was sort of like, wait a minute now. If I was going to take an acting class, should I be taking it from Robert De Niro or somebody that really is successful? Anyway, I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. Then I had an incident happened to me at Whole Foods. I don't even remember the security guard that told me about how Iran had shot a missile to or through the moon last year. So, you know, he's a Hispanic guy, nice guy. And so I go to Whole Foods. It was actually on Memorial Day. And I ran into a lady I know from comedy. And she hadn't seen me in a while. She noticed how much weight I lost. And I was telling her I've got to get my hips fixed. And I said, oh, man, I'm getting old. We're getting old. And she told me I actually look younger than I did before, which, okay, I'll accept that. Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, I've always kind of looked younger than my age. But lately I've been looking at myself going, especially when the dye job starts to wear off, I look at myself and go, damn. Damn, girl. Jeez. But anyway, so she was saying I looked younger. And I was, okay, fine. And other people have said that too. So it's not just her. And so I go in to the store. And at one point, I run into the security guard in there. And there's somebody's got a little baby in their stroller. Yeah, a cute little baby. I don't know. Maybe a few months old. I don't really know the ages of babies. And so I'm like, you know, like saying hi to the baby and smiling at the baby. Hi, baby. And then this guy turns to me and goes, how many grandchildren you got? And oh my God, talk about ego deflating. How many grandchildren? Oh my, you see me as a grandfather? Yes, I certainly could be a grandfather. That's very true. But I don't like to think of myself as that. I mean, and then I started to rationalize. I thought, well, you know, in the Hispanic culture, I mean, you could be a grandparent pretty early because, you know, I mean, I've known, you know, people in that culture that are grandparents at 35. That's what I'm saying. I'm 35. I'm trying to pass for 35. I'm just saying that, you know, in his mind, you know, he's looking at me. He knows I'm whatever age. And, you know, he's just figuring, hey, how many grandchildren? And that was so ego deflating. And I took a couple deep breaths and I said, None. And then I bought some cookies. But that's a different in white people culture. White people, especially this generation, my generation, people are having like guys, even women are having their first kids like in their 40s, and even in their 50s. Like guys into their 50s, women don't generally think they give birth in their 50s. But in the white culture, like for example, I have a friend. I'm going to mention to him. Mention him in a little while, my friend Jason. I'm going to mention him in his new situation in a little bit. But he's, you know, in his late 30s, and they just had a, you know, a child, him and his wife. I think his wife might even be a couple years or 1 or 2 years older than him. And like, you know, when my parents were that age, well, my mom is a little bit 2 years or so younger than my dad, but when my dad was Jason's age, I had personally already served 9 years in prison. No, I was already, my parents were practically teenagers when they had me, which explains a lot of the issues that I have in my life. Oh man, I'm just rambling. I feel like I'm rambling today. I'm sorry. I mean, sometimes, you know, like I said, I get self-conscious doing this because I do some planning of this. I do take some notes throughout the week. But then as time goes on, I like to see if anything's going to, you know, develop and be funny and hit me. And sometimes I think some shows are better than others. And that's just the way it is, folks. Hey, it's free. What do you want? You don't like it? You can go somewhere. You can go somewhere else, okay? You can go to another podcast place. Go to Podcasts R Us and say, listen, we want to get a different podcast. We don't like... There certainly are enough podcasts out there. I mean, if... I couldn't have picked a more ridiculous time to enter the podcast market. It is literally, I would say... I'm not saying every comedian has a podcast, but I bet you 5 out of 10, 7 out of 10... have a podcast, and then you have all the other people who aren't comedians and have other kind of podcasts. And so it's, you know, it's a crowded market out there. But, you know, what the heck? I'm going to do it. I'm doing it anyway. I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to keep doing it. Nobody can stop me. You can't stop me from podcasting, man. So I get a call this week. A voicemail message from a company that I talked about maybe 2 or 3 podcasts back, where I usually pay them on their website, and then they they changed their website, so all the security things had to be changed over, and it got crazy, and then I couldn't do it, so I called and got this very nice Indian woman who happened to be in Arizona. I kind of fell a little bit in love with her, but then I'll never know her anyway. They were sending me, this company said, "Hello, this is a courtesy call for Al Berman." You know, had that robotic kind of thing. "Please," first they said, press any key to continue. Well, it's on a friggin' my voicemail recording. I'm going to press a key. If I press 2, I'm going to save it. If I press 3, I'm going to erase it. So they must have got wind of that because they called me back later that day. And then they said, "Please call 1-800 blah, 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 blah to find out why we're calling." And so I did just that. I called them up and, and they were like, "Okay, please enter your telephone number so we know you are who you are." And I'm like, "Okay, please enter your account number. Okay. Please enter this, please enter that." Then they say, "We're calling, this is a courtesy call to let you know that you can now pay your bills online." Oh, duh. Okay, that's great. Then they went, what else they say? Then they go, if you've already paid your bill in the last 3 days, then just ignore this message and go on with your life. You know. And then they go, if you're planning to pay your bill on the due date, press 2. And so I go, I don't even know why I'm hanging on the phone at this point. Like, all right, toot. And I go, "Okay, you've now agreed to pay your bill on or before the due date. And this courtesy call was designed to waste..." I don't understand what the purpose of this call was. It was a complete waste of time. There was no reason for me to call them up. I was already paying my bills online before they changed their website. I now have it set up because I got this other girl who walked me through it and... showed me exactly everything's supposedly solid now. From now on, I could pay it online. You know, the security questions are solid. Everything's solid. So, these companies with their courtesy calls, take your courtesy. You want to do some courtesy? How about let me slide on this bill once in a while? How about a little courtesy? How about a little courtesy from my bank account? How about like I like this call. "Hello, we're giving you a courtesy call to tell you that this month you do not have to pay your bill. Thank you. We love you." But you know, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Okay. I'm coming to the last subject of the podcast. And that is my friend Jason and his wife Kaylee have given birth. Well, she gave birth. He had a very large hand. Well, I don't know how large the hand was. Ooh, that was a bad joke. He had a hand. He was a participant in this birth in many ways. And so their son, Solomon, was born, I believe it was May 31st, around 6 p.m. He was born. He came into the world. And it's just... it's just amazing to see. I've seen pictures of him. Like the first pictures I saw were the typical, new baby sleeping picture where it just looks like, it's just a new baby, newborn baby sleeping. He looks really cute. I mean, how can you look at a newborn baby and not just gush? I mean, it's just so precious. I mean, I don't want one in my life. I mean, I'll deal with Solomon through them. Maybe when he gets older, but I don't want any personally. I think I'm past the point of newborns here, but I still can appreciate it. I still can appreciate it, and so it looks so cute. Then I got this other picture, which he had his eyes open. He was completely alert and awake, and he looked like he was older than a few hours. It looked to me like he was, I can't tell babies' ages, but he didn't look like a newborn, and he had this look in his eyes like this wisdom, like he knew stuff, like he's been there. He's like, he just came from there and now he's here and he's got stuff that he could tell you if only he could talk, you know. And of which, and of course, we the collective society, we're going to screw all that up. We're going to educate him. And, all right, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 1. They play spell cat, C-A-T, D-T, blah, 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 blah. I'm not putting down education. I'm just saying that some of the ways the education process is takes away from, people's ability to be unique. You know, he has this uniqueness about him and in his eyes. I don't know. And then people started making comments on Facebook. One girl said to them, yo, you brought an awesome person into this world. I'm like, well, how do you know how awesome he is? He's just this baby. He might turn out to be, I mean, I hope he is awesome, but we don't know. The jury's out on this kid. He's like, 2 days old at this point, as I'm talking right now. Jason, when he sent out the pictures, he sent them out via text to about 9 people. And so I was getting responses on my phone all night long, and nothing like being congratulated for something I had nothing to do with, or being privy to the congratulations. And then at one point at 4 a.m., I was sitting there reading, and all of a sudden my iPhone did that. I go, man, who's texting me now? And it was like, oh, Jason and Kaylee, congratulations on your baby. So, and there was no way to stop it. There was no way to stop it, except maybe to turn my phone off. And I refused to be controlled like that. So I want to congratulate them. I'm really, really happy for them. And then yesterday, Jason texted me that Solomon, I'm going to call him Solly, unless they or he wants to be called Solomon all the time. I think Solly, it's kind of more friendly. Hey, Solly or Sol. Soloicious, Solomoni. No, it's not Solomoni. Solomonum. Anyway, I'll come up with more names. But anyway, so he had his circumcision yesterday. I'm telling you, the kid has not been on the planet, outside his mother's body for 24 hours, and they were already whacking at his privates. I felt so bad. I asked Jason how it went. He said it was awful. I felt so bad for him. I just don't understand the whole circumcision thing. I'm told that it's more hygienic that way, but if you're born that way, you come out, you're born, and then you're saying God made a mistake. Let's fix this. I was born a Jew. I'm born Jewish, and circumcision used to be, I think, only for the Jews. And it was some kind of covenant we made with God. I don't know why we couldn't have just done a thing with our pinkies, like 2 pinkies together, and then, okay, solid, we got a covenant. But when I was born, my circumcision, I understand, took place 8 days after my birth, because I think that's when they do the circumcisions in the Jewish religion. And also, my circumcision was called a bris or a pinya, an pinya ben. I was part of a tribe that, because I was the first born male of my tribe, it was a big deal. That's what I was told. And so it was almost like a wedding, I guess, a wedding where they're cutting somebody's part of his penis. But they waited 8 days, they lulled me into this sort of feeling like everything was cool, and they rubbed, I'm understanding they rubbed whiskey on my gums to get me nice and happy, which was the beginning of my bout with alcohol and drugs. Thank you very much. Started 8 days into my life. But Solomon gets it like one day. He's just turning 2 days old. Boom, he's just like, oh my God, I just spent 9 months in a womb. I had it warm. I had the food. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to, and now I come out. First thing they do, they slap me on the butt. I don't know if they slap me on the butt. Do they still do that? I'm just assuming they did. They slap him on the butt. He's crying. All right, I'll do the baby. 2 weeks in a row, I did the baby. And then the second day, they just, you know, whack your privates. As my friend Bill said, welcome to planet Earth. So, I hope he's okay. I'm sure he's okay. But it's, you know, he'll recover. But geez, I went to a friend of mine married a Jewish girl a few years ago. And I went to the kid's circumcision. And I stood in the back, way in the back, so I didn't even have to see it. And I got, me and this other guy, we were holding on to each other. I turned sheet white. And I was just, ugh. So, I don't get it. I don't get the whole thing. But, all right, it's over with. Hopefully they didn't take too much off. You know, which I always suspect they did to me. I have a bone to pick with them, but that's probably shouldn't say it like that. Anyway, that is it for this week, folks. That is my my little podcast here. And again, thanks. I always want to thank the people who listen every week. Thank you so much. If you feel like telling somebody about it, tell somebody about it. Some point I'm going to get on the iTunes store, or I'll be joining somebody's network who knows how to market this thing correctly. But in the meantime, I'm having fun doing this, and like I said, it's a great outlet, great creative outlet. And so, until next week, until next time, I should say, because it might be next week, you know, because sometimes I might do it a little longer, a little shorter. We'll see. So let's just say until next time. This is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.